Faith, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Thank you for joining us on The Change Artist, where we bring our listeners stories and great advice for leading and following through change from business leaders who are making a difference in their organizations. Here on The Change Artist, our motto is, if change is the only constant in life, let's do it better. So let's jump right in. Faith, what is your top advice for leading through change?
Breathe. That's my top advice. So many times we hold our breath through the changes, through the uncertainty, through the angst. If we take time just to breathe and understand that, you know, we're not curing cancer, most of us, most of it is going to be okay. Just breathe. It's going to be fine.
I love that. I'm going to take a breath now because I am so excited for this episode. For those of you who don't know her, Faith McKinney is a personal branding and PR strategist dedicated to teaching people the perfect framework for credibility, visibility, and authority for business and career success. Now, as a PR strategist and as a personal branding strategist, you know, change can be very disruptive to people's sort of sense of identity in their jobs, their sense of understanding for where they sit in the organization. And that's all baked into sort of the personal brand that they've spent a lot of their time and energy building. Help me understand how you think through the evolution of your personal brand as you're experiencing change, as you're part of change within an organization.
For many of us who are experiencing or who have experienced change, your status, your title, your rank within the organization is going to be in flux. Just hanging on to a position for dear life, you will struggle to find your spot because this is where you've hung your hat for so long. You've built your identity through your position, through your political power within the organization, and suddenly it's ripped from under you. How do you handle that? But then it's your opportunity to show your strengths, to prove yourself, to prove to the organization, to the leaders, how you can shine, how you can support. You have a vault of knowledge. You have a vault of experience. Leverage that power, leverage that knowledge, leverage the experience to lift yourself up, to make yourself even more marketable. You do have power, you know, as an employee, you have more power than you think. And many times it is often articulating the skills that you do have. Sharing what your skills are, your talents, your strengths, that's really important. Getting that visibility, the credibility, and the authority, and understanding what you have is going to carry you through.
And how do we get ourselves in the right headspace to be able to identify that for ourselves? I think a lot of times it's really easy to get stuck in the challenge, stuck in a sort of a very negative space as you're witnessing this change, as you're having this change foisted on you. And how do we go through the exercise of identifying our personal strengths so that we can continue to sort of thrive through change?
Yes, there's so much anger and resentment. Fear that people experience when they are being, in upheaval. Of course, breathe and know that you're okay. You did land in a spot, hopefully, within the organization. And after you breathe, assess what skills that you do have. Check other positions outside of the organization and see, wow, wait a minute, these skills are the skills that I'm using in this organization. They're looking for these skills in another organization. They must be valuable. How much are they willing to pay? How much value is assigned to the skills that I have? And then you can really leverage to either move up in the company or move up in another organization. Leverage the skills that you do have. We are siloed when we are working in an organization. We don't know what other people or other companies need, and the skills that we have, they other companies need. We all think that we can only do it at one spot, especially for workers who work in long-time careers, such as government organizations. People work there for 10, 20, 30 years, and that's who they are. That's what they do. They don't understand how to transition outside of the company. But if you are in that position where you think that's the only job for me, no, there are plenty of positions, plenty of companies who value your skills. And once you know your value, you understand your value, and you promote and let other people know your value via LinkedIn, you can then see, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to be stuck here. People do value my skills. This is where I can leverage my skills in another way. Also within the company, because a lot of times when there's a reorg going on, nobody really knows what's going on, what's happening. Find the people that you feel need the help. Oftentimes it's the leaders who need the help. The people who are in charge of moving things around, moving people around. They don't know everything. They have a vision. They can't see everything. Be the eyes and the ears for that leader and help them. Be that voice of reason sometimes, not in a pounding way, but in a helpful way, so that they can communicate to the rest of the organization what the plan is, so that everybody comes on board. As the leader, a lot of times it's the ego that's leading, and it is hard for them to separate themselves from the job or the position or the power and take for granted all of the skills, the knowledge, and the strengths of others. When you're in that position, when you're in a position of know what I'm doing, but my leader doesn't necessarily know what they're doing, add value to them. Let them be who they are, but support them in a way that is helpful. If they know that, hey, you're not working against them, you're working for them, with them for the best interest of the organization, then you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Find your value, recognize your value, put a dollar amount on that value and leverage that value.
As a manager of people, as a leader of a team, how do I help my subordinates or my team members sort of make that mental shift to positivity, make that mental shift to self-value? Because in practice, people that have made that mental shift drive so much more value, not only for themselves, but ongoing value for the organization. And so how do I, as a leader, help my subordinates and my team members make that shift? How do I create the right culture where that kind of expression is encouraged, welcomed, fostered?
First of all, as a manager of a team, understand fully what the organization is asking of you and requiring and how it's supposed to be done. Make sure you understand that and that you're fully on board with that and not bringing in old thinking to a new situation, because it will confuse your team. So if you understand fully what's required of you and what's being with the direction of the organization, then tell your team the truth. Don't try to sugarcoat things, but then allow your team to find themselves and grow slowly and measured. Help them learn the new ways of doing things, the new thinking. That muscle memory is very strong. The things that they learned in their old positions, the old way of doing things, is the only way they know. It's what they cut their teeth on. So it's going to take a little while for them to understand and to see that we're doing something different. This is a new venture. This is brand new. You know, we have to think differently. Give your team that grace.
I love this idea of giving your team space, of giving them grace. But talk to me a little bit, because this is giving your team space is not just about creating a void into which your team steps, right? You're also supporting them through this transition with effective communications. And what do effective communications look like from your perspective?
You know, going through a reorganization in an established company, you know, over 200-year-old company, it's like moving a big ship. And when there's change that's coming, like, you know, like a bulldozer, upheaving everything, just knocking everything down and upon itself, it's very disheartening. It's scary. I've seen tenured people leave, you know, with their vaults of knowledge to competitors. It's not a pretty sight. Everyone is nervous. I think what could go right is the communication. If communication with everyone is solid you know, even though everything is not in place, you're creating new divisions, you're creating new teams, you're creating new products, communicate that this is a pilot. We are all testing every day. We don't know everything right now. If you communicate and tell the team the truth that we are building the plane as we fly it right now, and what is expected and what the challenges are. You know, why do you need so much data? Why do you need this to happen this way? Why do you need whatever it is? Tell the truth, let people know, let your teams know why, the reason for the madness. And then I think they'll come on board. But if you don't, then your people will feel like they are left out.
Have there been people who've been particularly supportive, mentors or advocates or enablers, right? As you've grown in your career and developed this sort of your own success metrics?
So many people. One of your past guests, Sonal Chef Zawari, she's one of my dear friends and one of those people that you can call, you know, in the middle of the night, and she's always there. Another is Linda Clemens. She's a successful businesswoman, a speaker and body language expert, author. She's got a grasp of the world in a way that is almost supernatural, but she's always included me in a lot of her events and a lot of her business dealings. She's always included me. So I've been really, really fortunate that way. Within my organization, I've been fortunate to be able to have a great manager who listens to me, who allows me to spread my wings, to be the person that helps to lead the team by supporting him and encouraging my colleagues in a way that a manager or a leader could not do. From a peer-to-peer standpoint, encouraging your team members will boost you up as a leader, and building them up individually and spending time and helping them when they ask for it.
So how do you put yourself in a position to be a mentor for people like that, to be in a position to help others?
One is share my failures. I share my failures all the time with my team. I let them know that, hey, it has not always been rosy, but this is what works for me. We have two new team members. Hey, let me help you. Let me spend time with you. Let me show you. Let me help you be successful at one thing right now so that at least you'll have that. So I do that with my team members. I do that with other colleagues. I just want to make sure that everyone feels like they're heard and that they're supported as they learn our new processes.
I want to keep back on something that you talked about, right? Around getting out of your comfort zone, meeting other people, interacting with others to help you understand your value in the marketplace, also see yourself in a new light. Networking is a big hurdle for a lot of people. It can be awkward. It feels artificial. What do you recommend for people who perhaps have a hard time connecting with others? How can they approach networking, approach interacting with new people in a way that is authentic and genuine, but helps them get past some of those fears?
Yeah. So I wrote a book called Schmingling. It's the Art of Being Well-Connected Through Blatant Self-Promotion. And I wrote it because I wanted to see, even I identify as an introvert and a shy introvert as that. In fact, I wanted to make sure that anyone could be connected. With Schmingling, my goal was to show that anyone, whether you're, you know, a tall, blonde, blue-eyed, curvaceous woman or a short, chubby, bald, Black woman, anyone could be seen, anyone could be known. And I especially wanted to highlight those introverts, those shy people. What do they have to do in order to get out there, to get noticed? And so I created 5 ways for people to do that. And one would be to be creative. What are your strengths? What is it that you do better than most people, or that you feel more comfortable doing? Do that, highlight that. Have some courage, because being an introvert and being shy, it takes some courage to do things. So once you start introducing yourself to someone, measure out or see how people respond. There's a lot of people reading, a lot of body language reading, but create a script for yourself. When I go to networking events, I'm always nervous. I'm always scared, but nobody would ever know because I created a script for myself to introduce myself, to bring up topics, to get other people engaged, such as who invited you or how did you find out about this organization, or open-ended questions that will get their attention. I also teach people how to network, how to read a room. How do you encourage or how do you approach people who have their backs to you? Are they in a group? Is it a closed group? What kind of cues will allow you to see that it's okay to interrupt or don't interrupt? But things are important in networking. And so schmingling will help, especially as introverts, to network effectively and create relationships that'll last a long time without being too intrusive.
Makes sense. And so as we think about change, we've talked about leading through change. We've talked about personal branding through change. A lot of times we're part of change where we're not in the driver's seat. In fact, most of the change that you're involved in, you're probably not in the driver's seat. Sometimes you're in the passenger seat. Sometimes you're in the back seat. What is your advice for folks who are following through change?
That is really probably the most powerful position you could have, because you're not the person who has to come up with the ideas. You're not the person who necessarily has to implement everything, but being the follower means that you really want to gather a consensus. You really want to help other people see the vision and help move people towards that vision and share the vision that you have with the leadership, which should be the same. So if it's the same vision that your leadership has, let them know what you're doing. Let the leadership know how you're helping the team, your team, progress and move forward. And when that leader sees you moving and supporting that vision, that leader will then depend on you a little bit more and more and more as things settle down a little bit. They'll say, oh, wow, they supported me this whole way. Let's see what else they can do.
I love that idea of owning the change as a follower and figuring out how to make your mark as part of the change and how to live into the change in a way that sets you up as a leader in the eyes of leaders. That's great. Well, thank you, Faith. If people want to connect with you and continue the conversation on PR and personal branding, where should they go to find you?
My favorite place to connect is LinkedIn. You can find me there, Faith McKinney. And I also have a website, faithmckinney.com, but LinkedIn is where I love to live. So find me there.
Great. And we will include a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Again, thank you. Hopefully our listeners can take your advice and apply it to changes and transitions in their own organizations. If you'd like to continue the conversation on change management and driving connection through moments of transition, you can visit us at blueswiftconsulting.com. Thank you again, Faith.
Thank you, Alyssa.